Everybody knows everybody, but just for the record, we're here to thank and commend Lyndall Hume and Brant Hirschman and Jim Lewis and Eric Cook and Mike Murphy and Jack Lutz is here and Dennis Cruz, Tom Weiss, Vic Heinhold, and of course Earlene for their leadership and foresight in passing an enormously important piece of legislation that, in part because been overshadowed a little bit by other debates, and in part because it happened late at night, I don't think got as much attention so far as it's really due. So let me just say two or three things about it and about them. I'm fresh back from the National Governors meeting, and I was asked about the prospect of telecom dereg in Indiana, and I was told by several people who are industry experts and other governors that this bill, as it sat and as it was passed last night, it's not simply an improvement, it's the best such bill in America. And because of what these men and women have done, we are going to see, first of all, lower rates for cable and other telecom services in our state through competition. And we are going to see major investments in this state that we have needed for a long time to bring a high-speed connection to places that don't have it now. And I cannot say enough, first of all, about the bill they passed. Again, it is not merely an improvement, it is best in class. And that's the way we ought to think in Indiana. We ought to try to get to the front of important trends and movements like this one. Secondly, I want to commend them for the way they did it. This was a bipartisan effort. It's not always possible, but when it happens, it's the best way to make big change. And so again, just heartfelt congratulations. Many of these folks have been working on a long time, and I was glad to lend one more shoulder to the wheel. But these are the men and women who did it, and they came together to do it. And what they have done is going to be a tremendous benefit to Indiana consumers and later to workers. Thank you very much. Well, I could make a forecast, or I could ask, for instance, Senator Hirschman, who was the principal author, to speak to this. We will say that in other states, it's been both quick and very dramatic, on the order I've seen of 20 and 25% in some cases, as competition comes in and does what competition tends to do, benefit consumers and bargain down prices. But, Senator, would you like to say anything further?
Governor, thank you. I think this very much reflects Indiana putting out the welcome mat for telecom investment. Obviously, the bill has to take effect. This requires some physical investments in the state, and that takes some time. But I think you'll see announcements of investment in the state and the follow-on of price competition that that investment brings in the very near future. In Texas, the law took effect in September. There have been 121 statewide franchise applications since that point. And so while only some of those have started to provide service, when they did, the benefits were immediate. So I think you'll see an impact in the very short term.
Thanks, Brent.
I'd have to check for you, Lester. I'd have to take a look.
Is because, it more than one?
Yeah, oh, yes.
Yes,
in fact, the first applicant was a rural telephone co-op. So it's a variety of providers, not 121, but at least a couple of dozen.
Senator, I'll make a list of this if I could. There's been some talk to the community that they might do special session on this because of housing transition, which is still so far apart. Do you think that's a real possibility?
I really don't. I think that the General Assembly has had time and will certainly have had time by March 14th to get its job done without the extra cost or difficulty of that happening. So I don't think it's realistic. No, I'm pretty confident, but I won't second guess Bob Gardner, and I think there will be some Republicans who don't vote for it. But I believe that the merits of this bill, its enormous impact for good in terms of jobs and progress in Indiana, is going to be enough in the end to address any concerns and carry the day.
Some
I don't know. As some lawyer put it there, and I suppose I viewed it as boilerplate, but.
Mm-hmm. Embraced and endorsed that, touted it even.
Right.
And yet last night, your party had a right to work amendment, a lot of debate on that. Is there a mixed message to unions here, embracing when we need them, go to the heart of unionization when we don't need them?
First, let me say, I think you framed the question in a good way. You know, please notice that we proposed two major infrastructure leaps forward this year. The traditional infrastructure of roads and bridges and rail, the new infrastructure of fiber and frequency. And now, thanks to these people, Indiana has leaped forward with regard to new infrastructure. There's a chance we will leap forward with regard to traditional infrastructure. Those two things happen in a short session. This is an historic step, probably the biggest combination for more jobs in this state in our memory. So it's a very interesting confluence of those two possibilities. I'll just say that we really welcome the support and the strong support of the many unions who have helped both these bills happen. And I personally don't think that the right to work legislation had a place in this session, and I noticed that there was bipartisan, strong bipartisan opposition to it, as I recall. Close to half the Republicans did not favor the move. So I hope no mixed message will be received. I certainly intended none.
Can you remind us, should Indiana be a right-to-work state?
I think we can succeed as a state under the labor laws we have. I've never advocated a change in the fundamental labor laws of this state, and I don't today. We are competing successfully for new jobs. 700 in Muncie last week, 200 and some in Lawrence, 500 in Stark County, and we've got a few more announcements impending. So we are competing and we are winning. Sometimes it's an issue, but we've got big advantages that we, I think, can use to overcome any perceived advantage that right-to-work states have, and those include location, affordability, and a very good business climate, and a regulatory approach that's quick and predictable and growth-friendly. And I hope soon we will have the best infrastructure program in America as another tool to keep bringing jobs here.
On the telecom, you want to focus on the video franchising part of that, mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
How many other states have done it? How unusual is what Indiana's doing in the telephone area?
All right. Well, which of our experts on the panel would like to speak? Lindell or Mike? You want to take that one, Mike?
Leslie, there are several other states that have moved ahead of us in certain areas of telecom reform because it took us a couple of years to gain the momentum. But I can tell you that this bill has the most significant consumer protections that I've seen across the country with the fining authority that the IURC now has, up to $10,000 per incident. So you get the benefits of telecom reform, the statewide video franchising, and the significant consumer protections, which I think all Hoosiers should be proud of.
Thank you, Mike.
I don't know who in particular would want to address this question, but it seems that under a deregulated telecom environment, the best method of complaint by the average consumer is that they can switch sides, they can go to a competitor. We went through a Citizens Action Coalition in particular that companies like AT&T, which already have a pretty massive market share, are going to be able to use the basic phone price increases to help drive out competition. Essentially, yes, you can compete against us, but you won't be able to compete against us because we have a lot more resources. How do you counter that argument?
Well, I'll invite maybe Mike to come back. I'll just say that this sort of scare tactic's been conventionally used, but it's just not the world we live in anymore. This is a Wild West world of multiple competitors, and consumers always win when competition is at its freest. And you're going to see, I predict, great benefits to consumers, both in phone service and especially in entertainment services. which for most Indiana households today is two or three times a bigger expense than the telephone.
So do you think we'll have a local phone competitor?
First of all, the rate hikes that you talk about are certainly not a certainty, not guaranteed. Thanks to Senator Hirschman, instead of guaranteed rate hikes, we have guaranteed protections against significant rate hikes. It provides a three-year transition for everyone in the state of Indiana. That doesn't say that any phone company has to raise their rates. It says any phone company cannot raise their rates more than a certain amount per year. I think it's about 8%. Second of all, we will have basic telephone service competition. We already have it in some parts of the state. What this bill does is help move it across the state so all Hoosiers have that benefit. I talked to my mom this morning. I talk to her almost every morning. She lives in South Bend. She's 81 years old. She has basic phone and basic cable. I told her this morning in a very brief time, she'll have access. She'll have people, companies calling her, wanting to offer her different phone services, different video services. She's pretty excited about it.
There's a exception for direct sons and daughters, yeah.
That's right.
Sometimes when people think about deregulation, a little bit about power, and you just talked about the fact that consumers always win with this competition, and I think the states that got into the electric deregulation earlier would probably argue that point. What do you say to consumers who are concerned about, for instance, what happened in California with power, something disastrous like that could happen in some future?
Well, first of all, the track record's clear, and we've talked about it here. Telecommunications deregulation is leading to lower costs and much wider choices, and that's the example to look to. Power is very, very different in more than one way, and a lot of those places, you had deregulation without a lot of competition. People were locked themselves into long-term contracts that didn't allow them to take advantage of what could have been other cheaper sources. And so going halfway is not a good idea sometimes. Again, these men and women didn't go halfway, didn't take an incremental step. They took a bold step. And we're going to see the benefits, as I've said, in lower prices, more choices, and then in more jobs.
How do you think that California is one of the best jobs in the country? How do you think that puts us ahead of other states?
I think you'll see a lot of investment here, first of all, because the environment's now conducive to it. And secondly, quite honestly, because the companies that are urging other states to move in this direction will have an interest in success stories. And I think they will want to come here. I've talked to them, and so have these men and women. I think they will want to come here aggressively with new investment and then be able to tell the next state and the next state, Indiana acted boldly, and look what happened. That Indiana respects the First Amendment, even for the most despicable forms of speech, but that equally we're determined to protect the bereavement and honor the sacrifices of those who've done the most important public service of all, more important than anything I do or anyone in this building does, and that's defend our rights. And I think the General Assembly has struck a good balance, and I told someone this morning in Kokomo, that bill's not going to reach my desk. I'm going to sign it at the front door. Who's whining now? Oh, sorry. Yeah. A lot of whining around here. I honestly don't know what the best way forward is here. Still hopeful that a compromise, and one did seem near, could be reached. We're very interested in not just protecting, but furthering the growth of the small businesses, 30 to 40 at least, that have sprung up in Indiana. And I think everybody has the same goals in mind, but a lot of differences about the best means of achieving them.
If they don't do it, and obviously some miners say go out of business before the next session. Did you direct the ATC not to enforce it?
I don't know the answer to that. We certainly look for administrative relief, and I would hope that likewise that the courts would have some forbearance, as they did once already, in maybe giving us more time to work out Indiana's problems, which, again, I think everybody wants to do, and there's just a good faith difference about the best means of doing it. Thank you very much, and thanks again to the senators and reps who are here.
Thank you.
Yeah.